We're looking at patience tonight. What do we mean by patience? Well, I was thinking about patience last night. Last night was a hard night to be a St. Louisan, wasn't it? Painful night. A night that shouldn't have been. I don't know about you, but I just felt it was an, oh. Ben has a Cubs hat he's waving over there. We need to pray for him. It's a night that wasn't supposed to be, right? I could feel it from the beginning. I was sure that this was going to be another one of those trademark Cardinals recoveries. We were going to see them come back. They were going to win game 4. We'd be rooting tomorrow night for game 5. And we were going to go all the way to the World Series where we'd have that I-70 series all of us have been hoping for. Would have been great. Instead, the season's over. Now we're waiting. 180 days to be exact. We have 180 days to wait until the first pitch of the first Cardinals game for season 2016. Bart Giamatti said these words. He said, "It breaks your heart. It is designed to break your heart. The game begins in the spring when everything else begins again. It blossoms in the summer, filling the afternoons and evenings, and then as soon as the chill rains come, it stops and leaves you to face the fall alone." Sort of feels like that today, doesn't it? So it requires patience. You know, I have friends who inevitably, whenever the season does end, they start trading everybody away because, of course, we need to fix it for next year so the season goes longer. But it requires patience to actually accomplish what we want, which is our 12th World Series title, right? We have patience for lots of things, right? We have patience when we're talking. We have patience when we're waiting in line. We have patience when we're waiting to hear what the preacher is going to get to in his point. Is that what we really mean by patience? Is that what the fruit of the Spirit is? That we just kind of withhold our tempers a little bit and put up with people? Or is it something more? Well, I think we'll see that tonight. That indeed, there is something more to it that James has in mind. We're looking at James chapter 5. And I believe as we look at James chapter 5, we also discover what Paul has in mind on patience. Here's a place where I think they're using the same word the same way with regards to patience. Look with me at chapter 5 of the book of James, starting with verse 7. It says these words. "Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You may have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord. The Lord is compassionate and merciful." Would you pray with me, please? Lord, we come before you tonight. It's so easy to be impatient. It's so easy to lack true patience, even as we look at little superficial things and think about being patient. Lord, would you help us to be truly patient? Would you bear that fruit in us? Would you help us to reflect on what it is? And through that, to be encouraged to stand firm in the things that you set before us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So what is it that we're reading about here? What does true patience, the sort of patience that James is talking about, really look like? Friends, this is a hard thing to think about because we struggle when we're forced to wait. I don't like to wait. I want to see the result. I want to see the end of the story. I want to know how things work out. I want to see the end of the 2016 baseball season when the Cardinals win the World Series. These times when we're waiting, sometimes we start to ask, well, does God really care? Is he aware of our plight? Could he have somehow become distracted and not actually be paying attention to what's happening to us? And as we try to instill patience in ourselves, we start to become impatient. Even over our lack of patience. I have to get to be patient. But God calls us and enables us to wait for his timing. That's the wonderful thing about the fruit of the Spirit. All of these things are hard to accomplish, and yet God enables us to. Nonetheless, I'd say this is one of the hardest. But we see in verses 7 to 9 that the Lord's presence enables us to be patient. The thing is, one of the hardest times to be patient is when there's lack of evidence of progress. If we look back at verses 7 to 9, we see that sort of situation. As James commands the brothers to be patient, he says, "See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and late rains." Now, we've already established in a previous message, I'm not exactly one with a green thumb. And yet I do know something enough about planting that I know that if I put a seed in the ground, I shouldn't walk out the next day and say, "Where are the tomatoes? Where are the strawberries?" Right? We have to wait for the fruit to be matured. We have to wait for the plant to grow. And even once the plant grows, we have to wait for the flower. And even after the flower, we have to wait for the fruit to mature until it's just right and can be picked. In this case, James has in mind wheat. And as it turns out, there were two critical rains in Palestine that were necessary for wheat to mature properly. There was a fall rain that they would anticipate, and then a spring rain. And after the spring rain, the wheat could be harvested. And so if you were the farmer, you plant the wheat in your field and nothing happens. The rain comes down. You have to wait for that rain to come down. Then you have to wait without any evidence of another rain coming, knowing that the seasonal pattern will ultimately bring that second rain, the rain that will enable the maturity of the wheat. But you couldn't see any evidence of that. There isn't a little coming soon sign, right? It's not like driving to the movie theater and you see the coming attractions for next week or a month from now. You just have to wait patiently and trust that the rain would eventually come. So what do we do? James says that we establish our hearts, verse 8, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. We can't see it. We don't know exactly when Christ will return, and yet the promise and the confidence that we can have that the Lord will return gives us the reason to be patient. Just like the farmer has to trust that that rain will come, so too we have to trust that the Lord will come. But when we're in the midst of crisis, when we're in the midst of times of difficulty, when we're in the midst of times that we just want to see the resolution of the story, it is very hard to establish our hearts like that. Much easier to grumble. Personally, I like grumbling much better. It feels good, at least for the moment, right? It says in verse 9, not to grumble. Do not grumble against one another. Because what do we do when we start to feel impatient? We start to find reason to grumble against those that are around us. And so we start grumbling and grumbling and grumbling, and at least we feel like we're doing something, right? We can see the grumbling. We can feel it. It feels good to grumble. It feels a whole lot better than simply waiting. Anyone ever had that coworker? You know that coworker? The one who is always nitpicking, the one who finds reason to complain about things. Often, you know, you're going into the business meeting, we're going to present the crucial project, and the coworker points out a flaw in the presentation right at the last minute. And you think, why'd you do that? There's nothing I can do at this point. I don't need to hear this. So what do? We probably don't say anything, most of us at least. We hold it in, yet we don't feel very patient at that moment. What do we do instead? Grumble inside. Grumble to someone else. I was grumbling this afternoon. Isn't that rather unfortunate? It's funny how that happens when you're preaching. We just simmer, and that simmering causes problems. It festers. It causes ultimately broken relationships and pain. It causes us to be distracted and focused on what we want to grumble about rather than what the Lord's doing. I think that's why we grumble. We're just like the Israelites in that regard. The Israelites kept grumbling out in the wilderness even as the Lord was demonstrating his presence up in the sky. It was clear he was there, yet they grumbled And so do we. So we need something to turn to. We need something to remind us of God's faithfulness in the interim while we await his coming. And James points us to that, verse 10. It says, as an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. The people James is addressing here, they're suffering. They're being persecuted. They're wondering, when is God going to fix this? Didn't he promise to come back? Why is he leaving us here to suffer? It's not always an easy question to answer. But James can point to the prophets. We can see clearly in the prophets that the Lord was with them, that he was working through them through the miracles and the prophecies that they were able to give. It didn't free them from the need to patiently wait through suffering. Prophet's a tough job. I remember one of my seminary professors said, people are mistaken when they think they want the job of a prophet because the prophet's job is hard. And yet in their very lives we can see that God is faithful as we wait patiently. It doesn't mean it'll be easy. But when things aren't easy, it doesn't mean the Lord isn't with us. It says verse 11, he refers to Job. He says, you have heard of the steadfastness of Job. As one commentator noted, he doesn't say the patience of Job. I think that's notable. Obviously, Job wasn't exactly patient. He wanted to know. He had a little impatience. And yet, even in his impatience, he still stood firm. He still wouldn't be shaken. He was looking to his Creator. He wanted to hear from God because he trusted in God. He didn't know why this was happening. But the very reason he kept calling for an answer, for a response to the things that he faced, was that he trusted God. He refused to curse God. And that is what James calls us to as well. As I said with my friends, inevitably someone's going to want to fire virtually the whole baseball team. Not much else you can do during the off-season. You can't fix it any other way, but at least it feels good, it feels cathartic to say, let's just fire them and get some players that can hit or players that can pitch. Never mind all the great accomplishments they made. We don't feel very patient right now. But how much better it is to wait and trust in the promise of players that we know have the ability and just look to World Series 2016. That's how it is for us as well. We can see in the track record of God's faithfulness to his people over time that even when we don't understand, even when we wish that the Lord would move more quickly, that he is faithful as we wait patiently. So we're called to patience. We're called to patience in everyday things, car troubles, trouble at work, trouble at church, wherever it might be, we're called to patience in those things. We're called to patience and so much more. We're called to patience even when our whole lives are upended, when nothing seems to make sense. We just think, I've had enough. I don't want to be patient any longer. We're called to patience in those times too. And we're called to it not without reason. We're called to it because the Lord is patient. The Lord is faithful. The Lord has been willing to be patient for us. We need only turn to Philippians chapter 2 and reflect on what Christ has done, his patience in coming down and suffering and living a human life, the humiliation of it for us, to understand how God steadfastly, constantly works towards the restoration of his people, even when it seems like we're waiting forever. So what do we do when we're called to be patient? We turn to the one who's been patient with us. The one who, instead of just wiping us out and starting over, has constantly chipped away at the things that would hinder a relationship with him and enabled us more and more to trust in him. That's the kind of patience we're called to. Patience to sit in the cold dark of the fall and the winter, trusting that opening day is coming, that God will again be faithful, that God is going to solve the problems that at times seem insurmountable. Friends, that's what patience is. the sort of patience that we see with this fruit of the Spirit truly is. Patience to look to the Lord and know that He will continue to do what He has promised. Would you pray with me, please? Lord, I admit at times I don't want to be patient. I'm impatient with being patient. And yet, Lord, as we look at You, we see the One who is ultimately patient, patient with us, and yet we don't deserve patience. We don't deserve Your tender mercy, and yet You pour it out on us. You continue to forgive us and to call us back to You, to call us to faithfulness, even when the easy thing to do, the thing that we would do if we were in Your place, would be just to turn away from us. So, Lord, when we feel beaten down, when we feel impatient, Lord, would You remind us that You are the God who is ultimately patient? Would You help us to turn our eyes to the promise of Your coming, knowing that You are coming again and You are restoring all things? We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Friends, tonight we're going to do a new song to close called We Will Not Be Shaken. You know, when we're in those times where we feel like we're being tested and we're being called to be patient, it can be hard not to be shaken in our faith. Yet listen to these words and let it be our prayer that we would trust in our God and through His unfailing love, we would not be shaken. If, as you listen to it, you want to join in, you certainly are invited to. If you simply want to listen and meditate on the words, that's fine too. But would you please stand as we sing, We Will Not Be Shaken.